Take your Bibles and turn first of all to Isaiah chapter 51. And I hope you have your Bibles because we're going to be looking at several passages today. We're going to be skipping around the scriptures quite a bit. Isaiah chapter 51. I want to talk a little bit about a year-end look. It's a good time to do some introspection. It's a good time to do some looking, some evaluating as we come to a new year. There are many of our friends and loved ones that are not with us as we go into 2015. There are many heroes of ours on the national stage that are not with us as we go into 2015. I've lost quite a few friends in the last couple of years. I don't know what the word is to describe the way I feel. Over 2013 and 2014, to have lost so many of the men that I have admired and looked up to for so long makes you feel a little lonely. Makes you do a lot of thinking about your own work and your own ministry and so forth. Makes you do a lot of thinking about the future of our country and who's going to pick up the mantle for these men. Who is going to be the ones to take up the cause, that have the heart and have the mindset and the philosophy, the understanding to be able to continue to provide leadership for our people as we go into the future. You know, one of the things that God does before He brings judgment, total judgment upon a nation, is He removes from the nation the leaders that would give it direction, the leaders that would give it hope and that would give it purpose and wisdom to know how to go forward. God removes those ambassadors from the nation that He's about to declare war on. And that's what He did in Old Testament Israel time and time again. So I've gone through the last couple of years with that on my heart and mind, and there, many of you have lost friends or loved ones, people that you drew strength from that are no longer here as we go into 2015. So it's a good time to do some looking, and that's kind of the mindset that I had as I was thinking about the message today and the last Sunday of 2014 here at Liberty Fellowship. And so we're going to be doing that today. We're going to be doing a little looking at, see what the Bible says about looking. And I think it's kind of interesting what we're going to find. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1. This is the first one. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. I brought a message, and I've said it many times in other messages, about not looking back. There's a message on the table over there entitled, Don't Look Back. But this is a verse that requires us to look back, but not in the way that we normally think. Normally when we think of looking back, it's like the way Lot's wife looked back when she left Sodom. That's the way most people look back. They look back like the children of Israel in the wilderness after they came out of Egypt. They look back. Oh, Would we had the leeks and the garlics and the onions of Egypt rather than be out here starving in the wilderness, eating this manna from heaven, looking back, thinking that it was better back there, thinking that they were better off before God delivered them from bondage. Can you imagine? But there's a lot of people that do that. God delivers them. God brings them from some place. He brings them out of a bondage. He brings them out of a prison. And they taste the free will of God. And then they start having challenges and trials and difficulties. And you're always going to have challenges and trials and difficulties in this life. You're always going to have trials. In the will of God, you're going to have trials. When you do what's right, you're going to have trials. When you're exactly where God wants you to be, you're going to have trials. When you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to have trials. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. Hello? Don't look back. Do you really want to go back to prison? You really want to go back to the wilderness? You really want to go back to Egypt? You really want to go back to bondage? You really want to go back to where God brought you from? That's the way most people look back. And that's why we say, don't look back. But in this case, he's saying to us, look at where God brought you from. Look at the pit you were in. When Lot's wife looked back, she looked back at whatever the pleasure and the glitz and the glamour, whatever it was in Sodom that attracted her, that's what she was looking at. But what she wasn't looking at was what had happened to her city. She wasn't looking at the spiritual depravity of her community. She wasn't looking at the moral malaise of her people. She wasn't looking at the judgment that had happened. You know, there's a lot of people, they look at America and they're looking at, oh wow, the stock market hit 18,000 this past week. First time in history. Just real quick, and I'm not an economist, but you don't have to be. Is there anybody listening to me today, here or out there, that really believes that that is not a fabricated bubble? Oh, wow, look, we've got malls we can go shop in. Wow, we can buy nice clothes. Oh, wow, we can drive nice cars. Oh, wow, we have all kinds of electronics. Look what we can do. Look at the games we can play. Let me ask you. I don't know the answer to this. It's just a rhetorical question. I guess it's because I really don't get it. And I know I don't get a lot of things, so I understand that. I'm a simple kind of a guy. I get that I don't get it, okay? How are so many of our adult men so enamored and captured and spend so many thousands of dollars playing games? Oh, wow, oh, I scored 10,000 points. Really, sir? How old are you?
Oh, I'm 48.
Oh, this is the coolest game. Oh, man, you want to see what I got for Christmas? I know. Oh, am I stepping on toes here? Hey, guys. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child. Grow up! Oh, America. Look at all this technology. Look at all this fun. Look at all these games. Look at all this. That's the way the Israelites were looking at Egypt when they were in the wilderness. And that's the way Lot's wife was looking at Sodom when she was being escorted out of town at the judgment of God. They're not seeing. They're not seeing the reality. 18,000 stock market. That's not reality. All this phony prosperity that we got in this country that's being held up by $18 trillion worth of debt, and that's a conservative figure, and that's not even really a true figure. Our country is bankrupt, and we haven't declared it. The international financiers are manipulating every market, including the gold and the silver precious metals markets. Now, gold and silver is depressed, but try to find it. How can it be so low per ounce? Six silver, $16 an ounce? Try to find it. Gold is what, $1,100 an ounce? Try to find it. The country of Germany had been letting Paris and London, I believe, were the two cities, keep all of its gold supply. And here, a few months ago, the government of Germany said, you know what, we think it's a good idea if we get our gold back from you guys. So they asked Paris and London for their gold back. And Paris and London said, oh, gee whiz, we don't know where it is. We can't find it. It's going to take a while. I'm not sure how many trillion dollars worth of gold Germany ostensibly owns. But, well, yeah, I mean, we know it's there. But, you know, just give us a couple years and we'll find it. It begs the question, I wonder if there really is any gold in Fort Knox. It's a facade, folks. It's a facade. People are addicted to pleasure and comfort and wealth and prosperity. It's an addiction. They refuse to look at anything else. Our nation is already under the judgment of God. It's not a future tense situation, folks. It's a present. It's already begun. Yes, it's a guarded judgment. And yes, God is being very patient. And He's being very kind. And He's being very long-suffering in the way that He administers His judgment. But it's already coming. Look back at where you came from, the pit that you came out of. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Yes. Do you remember what it was like before you knew the Lord as your Savior? Hello, how many remember what it was like before you knew the Lord? Remember the pit God brought you from. Look at the pit God brought you from. Look at the rock God brought you out of. So in that way, a retrospect is in order. And as we look, let's look at where we came from spiritually. Let's look at what we were like before the Lord saved us. Let's look at what we were before Christ. What we were before God's mercy, before God's grace, before God's goodness. If we were honest, many of us, we would have to acknowledge that if God had not kept His hand of protection upon us during 2014, we wouldn't be here either. How many of us were this close to eternity? Sometimes we knew it and sometimes we didn't. This close. But God protected us, brought us to this place. The second look I want you to see is in Exodus chapter 39. Exodus chapter 39. So look at the pit from which God delivered you is the first look. The second look, Exodus chapter 39 and verse 43. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. Second look, look at the work. Look at the work. There's work to be done in 2015. I'm at the age where hopefully I still have the strength and the energy and the mind to be able to work. And that's a blessing, because there comes the night when no man can work. And there's going to come the night in your life, sir, in your life, lady, you won't be able to work. You won't be able to work. Work while it's day. So I'm at that age where hopefully the experience and the training that God has given me and what God has taught me through the years can be useful. And I still have a mind and still have a heart and still have a body, even though the body ain't what it used to be, I mean, tell you. Can still work. I want to spend the rest of my life working. I don't want to spend the rest of my life playing games.
Woo, wow, 13,000 points.
There's work to be done. Our country is in trouble, folks. Our churches are in trouble. Our people are in trouble. Our liberty is at stake. We're teetering on the brink of tyranny. I'm not going to take a lot of time to talk about what's happening on Capitol Hill coming up. I mean, what the things that is being collaborated now between the Republican leadership, John Boehner and Boehner, I guess you pronounce it, and McConnell and Obama, and the collaboration that's being done to take our liberties away from us is mind-boggling. Now, you know, now you got these labor-oriented Democrats who are not going to support it, and so Mr. Obama is looking to the Republican leadership to help him pass the latest version of NAFTA, which is the TPP, the Asian Free Trade Agreement, that's going to be rammed down our throats here. So the Democrats won't do it, and so the Republicans are going to bail it out for them. Oh, there's a big difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. Now then, you know, the course said, well, you know, some of the elements of the Patriot Act and the spying on the American citizens, thanks to the revelation of Eric Snowden, and who's been betrayed as a traitor and all this kind of thing, portrayed as a traitor. Since all that, yeah, of course, oh, yeah, you know what, all this spying that's been going on, all the emails that they're collecting and reading and everything electronically is being read by the NSA on not terrorists, but the American citizens. Yeah. Well, you know what, that's illegal. Oh, really? It's unconstitutional. Yeah, that's what a court said. Yeah, so what does the NSA, what does the administration say? We don't care. We're going to do it anyway. And what does Congress do about it? They authorize it. They authorize it. We are one 9/11 type catastrophe away from total tyranny. We are on the brink. I mean, not to mention the risk of nuclear war that's hanging out there, not to mention the literal attacks of terrorism that are possible, not to mention the economic considerations that this propped up phony economic system that we have cannot last forever. They can't manipulate it forever. They can do it for a while, but they can't do it forever. Look to the work. And we're playing games. We're having fun. We're going to the mall. We're shopping. We're just having a good time. We are like the people on the Titanic, who, when the boat was sinking, people were dancing in the ballroom. That's exactly what we are like. Look to the work. Have you got hands? Have you got a mind? Have you got strength? Have you got the ability to work? Then go to work. Look at the work. Quit looking for the easy way out. Quit looking for retirement. Quit looking for an easy chair, for a sofa, for a Winnebago so you can travel the country. You know, we've got some of the best people in the country with wisdom and experience and knowledge that God has taught them, and God has given them so much. And what's it benefit anybody? How does it help anybody? All they're doing all year long is getting in their Winnebagos and traveling all over the country and going to the campsites and what. All that wisdom, all that knowledge, all of that mind and heart and experience that God has given them, and it's helping no one. We need everybody to go to work. Young and the old, rich and the poor, whoever you are, whatever your lot in life, whatever your station in life, look upon the work. Proverbs 27:23 is a similar injunction. Let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 20. I can tell you all are really excited about this message. I think I need to prepare a whole new message just on this subject. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Take care of your job. Take care of your business. Look, there's nothing spiritual about being a lousy business manager. Oh, wow. Gee, my mismanagement cost the company $20 million last year. Oh, wow, aren't I spiritual? No, you know who you are. You ought to run for Congress. You'd be right at home. Those guys do that kind of stuff all the time. Or, even better than that, be a Wall Street banker. You know, a Wall Street banker can lose a couple $100 million or a couple $1 billion and still get a big bonus and get a bailout from the federal government. I mean, come on, got it made. You know, in the real world, and by the real world, I mean a real world that's not manipulated by government. That's the real world. The world that's manipulated by government is not a real world. That's a phony world. In the real world, you have to balance your checkbook. In the real world, if your outgo exceed your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. in the real world. You got to know where the money's going. In the real world, you got to pay attention to your business affairs. In the real world, you have to be on top of your business affairs. You have to be. Only the government can spend more than it takes in and, quote unquote, get by with it. They don't get by with it either. Not for long. Not forever, anyway. But you can't do that. Your business can't do that. Look well to thy flocks. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. It kind of goes back with Exodus 39 about looking at the work, taking care of business. If you're doing a job, do it the very best you can. Be the best you can be at what God has given you to do. I am far from it. And I'm not trying to be super humble. I'm being a realist. I'm far from it, and I know it. But I want to be the best preacher that I can be. I want to be. I want to be the best patriot I can be. I want to be the best freedom fighter I can be. I want to be the most... I want to be the biggest thorn in the side of the New World Order in the entire world. I'm probably not, but I want to be. I want to be the best at what, if I'm going to do it, the Bible says, do it with all your strength. I want to do it with all my strength. I want to do it every Sunday, right here, with all my strength. And I put my whole strength into what I'm doing every Sunday. I may fail. I may not be the best. I may not deliver it the best. My mind may not be as sharp as it should be from week to week. My preparation may be deficient. But in my heart, I want to be the best. And you don't have to complain about the message was this or I missed that or I didn't say this right or I missed that. Believe me, I know. I know better than you. And I know the stuff I didn't get right that you missed altogether. Whatever you got to do, do it to the best of your ability. Be the best at it. Nothing wrong with it. That's not pride and arrogance. That's following the scripture to take whatever God has given you and doing it the very best of your ability. God has given you a talent. God has given you a gift. God has given you a mind. He's given you hands, feet, strength, health. Use it to the best of your ability. Don't take second best for anything. Don't expect second best of yourself. Don't expect less of yourself. There are things that God has given you that you can do that you probably don't even know you can do yet. But your problem is you're not willing to try. You're not willing to test it. You're not willing to put your whole self into it. You're holding back. You're wanting the easy way. You're wanting the comfort route. You're not willing to apply yourself to the best of your ability. And so it's not going to happen. You have no idea, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's in you. I don't know what God has created in you. But there could be talent in you. There could be gifts in you. There could be work in you that God would do, that God would bring out of you if you would just let Him, if you'd apply yourself, if you'd really seriously pray about it and give yourself to something with everything in your being. There's no telling what God might do with you and the work you could do and what you could accomplish. No idea. This guy out there who he just read his letter, I read the application. Wow, made me think. Wow, made me, I realize I got to go to work. Wow, I realize this isn't easy. Wow, I realize I got to put some effort into this. And I see what's going on in my country. I see what's going on in the churches. I see what's going on in my community. And I don't know yet what I can do, but I'm willing to find out and I want to do it. What about you? Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Look well to thy herds. Give yourself 100%, all of your effort, to whatever it is God has given you to do. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. We're talking about the year-end look. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Stay focused. Right on. Stay focused. Boy, that's a big problem. The distractions are manifold. The devil is always going to have a distraction on one hand or the other, to divert you away from the path that God has led you. It might be money. It could be any number of things. The list is immaterial. It could be anything. The devil doesn't mind what you do as long as you're not doing what God wants you to do. It doesn't matter to the devil how successful you are in material things, as long as you're not doing what God wants you to do. Keep your eyes right on. Look straight before thee. I have seen so many of God's people get distracted and they go off in a ditch. They go off in a ditch. They're not helping. They're not serving. They're not working. They're not benefiting. They're just over there in a ditch somewhere. They get distracted. You got to keep your eyes straight ahead. You got to know why you're doing what you're doing and what you're doing and where you're doing it. And you got to know, you got to be focused, you got to be determined, you got to keep your eyes straight. You start looking around, you're going to get in trouble. And unfortunately, I think that probably I'm safe in saying that the vast majority of God's people are in a ditch. They're in a ditch. They got distracted. So they're doing, they're busy. They're busy. They're busy, all right. Have you ever been stuck in a ditch? I've been stuck in a ditch here in Montana a few times. I grew up in snow, but I didn't grow up in mountain snow. And there's a difference between driving in snow on flat land and driving in snow on the mountains. There's a difference. I found that out. And I found out that four-wheel drive is not a solution for everything. Oh, I got four-wheel drive, man. I can go anywhere. So you get in a ditch, and you know what? You get busy. You go to work. But I'm not getting where I'm supposed to be. I'm not going where I'm supposed to. I'm in a ditch. And spiritually, there's a lot of Christians. They're in a ditch, folks. I mean, they're in a ditch. Oh, they're busy. They're working. They're working. They're working. They're working. They're digging, 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 digging. They're in a ditch. The because they didn't keep their eyes straight on. Go to 2015. You know what? Hey, don't let the internet get you in a ditch. Okay? The internet's a wonderful tool. I thank God for the internet. Despite all of the garbage that's on the internet, if it wasn't for the internet, I really truly believe that we'd be in full-blown tyranny a long time ago. The internet has allowed us to bypass the monopoly of the mainstream media, and that's all I can say to that is, it's great not to have to watch ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN. In fact, if you watch that stuff, you're not getting news, you're getting propaganda. You all know that. But don't let the internet get you in a ditch. There's a lot of stuff out there on the internet that if you're not careful, it'll get you in a ditch. I mean, anybody with a computer can get on the internet and they can say anything. And with a keystroke, it can be sent to millions of people all over the world. And that's exactly what happens. And a lot of it is just stuff to get you in a ditch. And don't forget this too. The powers that be that control the dark side, they use the internet too. Surreptitiously. They use the internet too. There's all kinds of people working for the dark side of government that pretend to be patriots. Pretend to be patriots. And they're feeding propaganda, false information. And they're wanting to see if the patriot community will swallow it. And unfortunately, we swallow it too often. So don't let the internet get you in a ditch either. Stay focused. Stay straight. Keep your eyes where they belong. Straight ahead. Know where you're going. Why you're doing it. John chapter 4 verse 35. Jesus said, John chapter 4 verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Look on the fields. That's the next look. Look on the fields. They are white on the harvest. Oh, I wish I had time to park here. Everywhere I go, I hear people saying about, it, you know, it's all over. There's nothing more we can do. All we can do is hunker down and wait for the end. Jesus said, look at the fields. They are white unto harvest. If we had just wanted to hunker down and wait for the end, there would be no Liberty Fellowship. And think how Liberty Fellowship has impacted tens of thousands, we don't know how many. The letter thy God said millions. Think of the numbers of people that have been influenced through the work of Liberty Fellowship over the last 4 years. Why is that? Because the fields are white unto harvest. That's why. The fields are not dried up with the crops rotting on the ground. Jesus said the fields are white. They're ripe. Go harvest. Go pick the fruit. It's ready. And I say to you, the fields are as white today as they have ever been. The fruit is as ripe today as it's ever been. And there are millions of people across this country just like us who are willing and waiting to do that which God would have them to do. They just don't know what it is. They don't have the direction. They don't have the opportunity. They don't see the open door. But when they do, when they see it, they're ready to go. They're willing to work. They're willing to be a part. I got to tell you, the devil and all of his imps and all these people that think they've got this thing in the bag and they've got victory within their grasp and it's all but over and victory is theirs, they are in for the biggest, rudest awakening in the history of the world, because the harvest is still white, ripe, and God is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are still on the winning side. Can I get an amen on that? It's not over. The fruit is not all dribbled up. It's white. That's why Liberty Fellowship is here. That's why people's hopes have been restored. It's why Liberty churches are starting up all over America. It's why people are meeting in their living rooms. People are meeting in community centers. People are meeting in groups here and there. It's why people are active. It's why they're disseminating information. It's why they're studying. It's why they're working. It's why they're on their knees praying. It's why they're involved, is because the harvest is still white. God's still putting it in the hearts of his people to get out there and pick the harvest. We're doing it. Amen. We're doing it. Look to the fields. Look to the fields. Don't be discouraged about that. Okay, so you got some kinfolk to think you're a little nutty. They thought you were a little nutty when you were 10 years old. Don't worry about it. All right, so you got neighbors that don't understand. Don't worry about it. Think what the neighbors of Noah thought about him. It's immaterial. It's irrelevant. The majority has never been the deciding factor. Never! In the history of the world, the majority has never been the deciding factor. They've never decided anything. They're fish. They just swim downstream. They just go along with the flow. The majority don't think for themselves. The majority, they're just followers. It's always been that way. Don't worry about it. It was a majority that won our independence back there in 75 and 76. It wasn't a majority that ever achieved victory, changing the course of history, changing the minds of the masses. Never been a majority. It's always been an indefatigable, tireless, resilient, resourceful, determined, energized minority that just won't quit. Always. Look to the fields. It's like a salesman that took a job, and he was a shoe salesman, and there was this one particular part of a backward place that there was no real record of shoe sales there, and they wanted to break into the market, so they sent their top salesman, and he was there for several weeks, and he finally called back to company headquarters and he said, "I can't sell any shoes here." And the management said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because nobody wears shoes here." And he left. And there was this rookie salesman who said, "Let me try." So he went. After 2 or 3 weeks, he wrote back, called back the company. He said, man, I need more shoes. I've sold out every pair of shoes that I have been given. And the manager said, how could this be? He said, man, you won't believe it. Nobody wears shoes here. You get that? Some of you are looking a little strange. It's all how you look at it, isn't it? It's all how you look at it. Say, well, it's a need. Yeah. The defeatist says, yeah, nobody wears shoes here. And the other guy says, wow, what a bonanza. Nobody wears shoes here. Field is what? People look at the field and they go, it's all over. It's all over for America. It's all over. Field's all dried up. And you and I look at the field and go, ah, white, under harvest. God is just sifting out his remnant here and there. He's bringing them all out. One at a time, two at a time, five at a time. And the world's distracted and they're going off into their la-la land, their zombie land. And God's bringing out the harvest. He's picking the harvest. He's picking the remnant. Picking a remnant. Liberty Fellowship wouldn't be here except that God's picking a remnant. Picking a remnant. That church in Coeur d'Alene wouldn't be there except God's picking a remnant. Those churches in Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina, those folks in Indiana, Kentucky, those folks all over that are starting up and they're fellowshipping and they're bringing people together wouldn't have it. God is bringing a remnant. A remnant. Picking a remnant. Pricking a remnant. Harvest is white. Look at the harvest. And then 2 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 John, I'll quickly close. 2 John, verse 8, there's only one chapter. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. This is the convicting one to me. Okay, we look at the pit that we came from. We look straight ahead. We look at the harvest. We look at the work. But now this one says, look to yourselves. Most of the time, the problem is not the people that we're dealing with. Most of the time, the problem is the person that we look in the mirror every day. That's the biggest problem. That's my biggest problem. Always has been. Oh, I like to blame other people. You know, I had this fourth grade teacher. Oh, was she ever a battle axe? Holy Toledo. Man, I was always in trouble. She had this thing, you know, you can't do this anymore. You know, but back in those days, nobody heard of political correctness. You know, she had this thing where, I don't know where she got this from, but boy, she was mean. She, when I was a little boy, they called me Charlie. She said, Charlie, come up here. And you had to put your hand on her desk. You know what I'm talking about? You've been there? You had her too. And she'd take the inside of her ruler, the end, you know, the end of the ruler. Whack! And if you didn't show enough pain, she would do it again. Whack! How? Now go sit down. You know, I hate to say it. I learned more in her classroom than any other teacher I think I had in elementary school. It was survival. I mean, you... You either learned it or you died. was the problem? The problem was not the battle axe. The problem was I was talking when I shouldn't have been listening. I wasn't doing my homework. I was goofing off. We shouldn't have picked up her Volkswagen and turned it around in the parking lot. That was a mistake. We shouldn't have brought that garter snake and put it in her desk drawer. That was a mistake. And I won't tell you the other stuff that we shouldn't have done. It wasn't her fault. It was my fault. I was a mischievous little brat that deserved every single one of those ruler strikes that I got. You can blame other people all you want. You can blame your boss, you can blame the neighbor, you can blame the government, you can blame it. Most of the time, the problems that we have to deal with are the problems that we created for ourselves. Same thing is true when we face God. When we face God, there's not going to be any excuses. Well, if I'd have just had a better boss, if I'd have just had a... Look to yourselves. Are you what you're supposed to be? Are you really doing what you're supposed to be doing? Okay, you made excuses all year long. Now we're going into new year. How about getting it right? How about stop making excuses? Face up to yourself. Look to yourselves. And then lastly, and there's three verses that I'll just quote for you. The last look. Genesis 15:5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Look toward heaven. Micah 7:7. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I will look unto the Lord. And then lastly, Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look to heaven. Look to the Lord. Look unto me, and be ye saved. If you get a real good look at Jesus, you know where you're going to see him? You're going to see him bleeding and dying on a cross for you 2,000 years ago. Take a good look. Take a good look. Take a good look at his back, lacerated. Take a good look at the crown of thorns. Take a good look at him hanging on a cross. He did that for your sins and for mine. And then take a good look at him whenever they came to find him in the garden tomb and the angel said, he's not here, for he's risen, as he said. And take a good look at him as he ate by the Sea of Galilee in his resurrected body. Take a good look at him as he ascended back to the Father. And take a good look at him now as he's seated at the right hand of God, where he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And take a good look at him, because he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't ever stop looking at Jesus. Don't, you know, there wasn't We didn't see a single thing in here all day, did we, about looking at your problems and looking at your failures and looking at the difficulties and looking at the excuses and looking at your handicaps. Look unto Him. And if you're here on this last Sunday of 2014 and you don't know for sure your sins are forgiven and you have a home in heaven, look unto Him and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Let's all stand for prayer.